Call it brinksmanship, call it a 12-year-long chess game, but Argentina could legally default on its international debt today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Argentina today could technically default on its debt to international creditors in the long-running battle over what it owes or does not owe after its colossal default back in 2001. A U.S. court ruled the week before last that Argentina is not allowed to keep paying its regular loans if it doesn't settle some of the old debts. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So, technical default looms. Is it really a deadline today or no?
Well, it's a deadline in the sense that the payment is supposed to be made, but it is not a full-on default until a 30-day grace period has expired. So a bigger concern must be whether we are still in this situation at the end of the month.
It's such a fascinating story. If Argentina were to pay money to creditors, money it owes, it gets into trouble in U.S. courts. These payments might be illegal.
It is very ironic, isn't it? We're in a situation where Argentina, which has defaulted quite a few times in the past, is actually trying to make some payments and is being told that it can't. And of course, the reason is that there are other contractual obligations that it has that it thinks it shouldn't have to fulfill. And as a result of the New York courts, Argentina finds it can't discharge this contractual obligation that it has to the creditors who agreed to restructure their debts back in 2005 and a few years after.
So this amazing moment of brinksmanship going on, but it's already having an effect on Argentina's economy, on the stock market. This uncertainty is not good.
It isn't good, and I suppose you have to recognize that Argentina does have other problems. Certainly, this uncertainty is aggravating the problem. One of the things that the Argentine government would like to be able to do is to draw a line under the history of default and be able to tell investors and lenders that it is going to comply with all the financial obligations that it enters into. And it is in a situation where this uncertainty about the position in the US legal system means it can't really give that assurance on a credible basis.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And indeed, there are other problems in Buenos Aires. Over the weekend, Argentina's vice president was charged with bribery and setting up secret companies to control a firm that got a lot of taxpayer money there to print the country's currency. Vice President Amado Boudou says he is innocent, and his lawyer calls the charges a fairy tale. There's going to be much attention later today with this on the U.S. Supreme Court. It's likely to rule or dismiss a case about whether health care reform can require companies to offer contraceptive coverage. At the center of the case, the arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby. But also don't miss a second key high court decision that could be on the way that will affect the workplace, whether everyone has to pay union dues after workers vote to unionize. Harris v. Quinn involves unionized home health workers. Now let's check numbers. The 100 share index in London is up slightly, about 3 points. Dow and S&P futures are down, but the Nasdaq future is flat. The euro is up slightly at $1.3655. For China, the dollar is down to 6.2 renminbi. Now a story about discrimination in the workplace against people who've changed their gender. A study last year found transgender people are twice as likely as the general population to be unemployed. Ashley Milne-Tite now reports on how transgender experiences at the office reveal a lot about the status of men and women at work.
Sociologist Kristen Schilt has spent years talking to transgender men and women about their work lives. One trans guy she interviewed is named Thomas. He's a lawyer. He'd begun working at his law firm as Susan.
And his boss told him a lawyer at a related firm had told her that he was so glad that they had fired Susan, who he had found to be very incompetent, but that he really loved this new guy, Thomas, and that, you know, he didn't realize that they were the same person.
But Thomas was the same person with the exact same abilities. He just looked like a man. Schilt says 2/3 of the trans men she interviewed found workplace life easier once they left their female days behind.
People would often say, I don't have to, like, back up the claims I'm making. People listen to me more.
Chris Edwards has experienced that firsthand. He's a trans guy who works in advertising. He now perceives his workplace differently, too.
As a creative director and as a male creative director, I started to notice differences with the way women were treated. But when I was a woman, I didn't really notice.
Now he's quite conscious of the pay gap at his firm. And he says it's always a woman who's expected to take notes in meetings, no matter how senior she is. Lisa Sheps knows all about that difference in status. When she was living as a man, Sheps ran a business with three male partners. At 40, she told them she was going to start living openly as a female.
One person said to me, "How do you expect to deal with business when all you're going to be thinking about is nail polish?"
Her partners pushed her out of the company. Sheps has been an entrepreneur all her life. She thought she'd just start something else as a female business owner.
In my 40 years as a man in the business world, I did not know failure. Success came very easily to me.
Not anymore. Sheps, who's co-founder of the Transgender Education Network of Texas, says administrative work is pretty much all she's been able to find. Her income has fallen dramatically.
It's a very different world that I have discovered for women in the United States versus men in the United States. It's just that much harder. You just have to be that much better.
Like everyone else who's underemployed, she just wants a job that matches her experience. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
On the way, most likely later today, what could be an $8 or $9 billion settlement with U.S. regulators by the French bank BNP Paribas. The allegations are that BNP helped clients bust trade sanctions in Sudan. In a message to employees over the weekend, the bank's CEO wrote, "I want to say it very clearly here, we will receive a heavy penalty." In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.